श्रीवत्साद्भिर् अंकैश्च लक्षणैर् उपलक्षितः.
In the Dwapara Yuga, the personality of Godhead appears in a blackish hue. He is dressed in yellow, he holds his own weapons, and he is decorated with the Kaustubha jewel and marks of Srivats. This is how his symptoms are described. Purport that this is a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam spoken by Saint Karabhajana, one of the nine royal mystics who explained to King Nimi the different features of the Lord in different ages.
Kali Yuga Yuga Dharma Namira Prachar Tati Lagi Pita Varna Chaitanyavatar.
The religious practice for the age of Kali is to broadcast the glories of the holy name. Only for this purpose has the Lord in a yellow color descended as Lord Chaitanya. Purport. In this age of Kali, the practical system of religion for everyone is the chanting of the name of Godhead. This was introduced in this age by Lord Chaitanya. Bhakti Yoga actually begins with the chanting of the holy name. As confirmed by Madhvacharya in his commentary of the Mundaka Upanishad, he quotes this verse from the Narayan Samhita.
Dwapadiyaya janaya Vishnu pancharatrais tu kevalai kalo tu nama matrena bhujyate bhagavan hari.
In the Dwapara Yuga, people should worship Lord Vishnu only by the regulative principles of the Narada Pancharatra and other such authorized books. In the age of Kali, however, people should simply chant the holy names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Hare Krishna mantra is specifically mentioned in many Upanishads, such as the Kali Santarana Upanishad, where it is said, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Iti sodashakam namanam kalikalmashanashanam nataparatarupaya sarva vedeshu drishyati. After searching through all the Vedic literature, one cannot find a method of religion more sublime for this age than the chanting of Hare Krishna.
Tapta hema samakanti prakanda sarira navamega jinikanta.
The luster of his expansive body resembles molten gold. The deep sound of his voice conquers the thundering of newly assembled clouds.
Dharagya vishthadeye apanarahat sharihasta hoya mahapurushavyakyat.
One who measures 4 cubits in height and in breadth by his own hand is celebrated as a great personality.
Ajanalum vita bhuja kamala lochan tilapula jini nasa sudham suvadan.
His arms are long enough to reach his knees. His eyes are just like lotus flowers. His nose is like a sesame flower, and his face is as beautiful as the moon.
Shanta Danta Krishna Bhakti Nishtara Parana Bhaktavatsal Sushil Sarvabhute Sama.
He is peaceful, self-controlled, and fully devoted to the transcendental service of Lord Sri Krishna. He is affectionate toward his devotees, he is gentle, and he is equally disposed toward all living beings.
Chandanera Angadbhala Chandana Bhushan Nrityakale Pariko Rain Krishna Sankirtan.
He is decorated with sandalwood bangles and armlets and anointed with the pulp of sandalwood. He especially wears these decorations to dance in Sri Krishna Sankirtan.
Esa Bhagunalaya Muni Vaishampayan Sahasra Nami Koilatandra Namakanan.
Recording all these qualities of Lord Chaitanya, the sage Vaishampayana included his name in the Vishnu Sahasranam. Dui lila Chaitanyara Adi Arashesh, Dui lilai Chari Chari Nama Vishesh.
The pastimes of Lord Chaitanya have two divisions, the early pastimes Adi Lila and later pastimes Shesha Lila. He has four names in each of these two lilas.
Suvarnavarno Hemango Varangas Chandanangadi Sanyasa Krich Chamasanto Nishtashanti Parayan.
In his early pastimes, he appears as a householder with golden complexion. His limbs are beautiful, and his body, smeared with the pulp of sandalwood, seems like molten gold. In his later pastimes, he accepts the sannyas order, and he is equipoised and peaceful. He is the highest abode of peace and devotion, for he silences the impersonalist non-devotees.
Purport: this is a verse from the Mahabharata, Dana Dharma Vishnu Sahasranam. Vyakta kori bhagavate kohi barabara Kali Yuga Dharma Nama Sankirtana Sara.
In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is repeatedly and clearly said that the essence of religion in the age of Kali is the chanting of the holy name of Krishna.
Iti dvapara urvisha stuvanti jagarishwaram nana tantra vidhani na kalavapi yathashanu.
O king, in this way, people in Dwapara Yuga worship the Lord of the universe. In Kali Yuga, they also worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the regulations of the revealed scriptures. Kindly hear now of that from me.
Krishna Varnam Tvata Krishnam Sango Phangar Saparashadam Jagyai Sankirtana Prayaya Yajanti Hishumedasaha.
In this age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the name of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associate servants, weapons, and confidential companions.
In these verses, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is establishing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Yugavatar and the chanting of the holy name of Krishna as the Yuga Dharma. Quoting such authorized scriptures as the Upanishads, the Mahabharata, Srimad Bhagavatam.
In regard to the three colors that Gargamuni describes in the Bhagavatam, he explains, as quoted here, that Krishna appears in Satyayuga in a white form. He appears in the Treta Yuga in red form. He's now appearing in the Dwapar Yuga in blackish form. And in the Kali Yuga, he appears in a golden form. In the teachings of Sri Narada Muni to Vasudev in the 11th canto, he cites the incident of when Maharaj Nimi, who is the king of Mithila, is inquiring from the nine yogendras how to understand the various incarnations of the Lord. As we know, the nine yogendras were the sons of Rishabhdev. Lord Rishabhdev had 100 sons. He instructed them all in the 5th canto of the Bhagavatam, teachings of Rishabhdev. His eldest son was Bharat Maharaj. He became the king. Nine of his sons
became sannyasis. And they became very perfectly realized souls and traveled simply broadcasting the message of Sanatana Dharma throughout the world. So these nine Yogendras, they approached Maharaj Nimi. And this great king, what a perfect example he is setting. When he came following in the footsteps of such great souls as Dasarath Maharaj, Yudhisthira Maharaj, Maharaj Nimi, he submitted himself with great humility as the servant of these mendicants. Knowing that he may have been very wealthy, a king is wealthy, he has great armies, great jewelry, great treasury, everything is his. But such a king understands that the real wealth is the wealth of renunciation, the wealth of transcendental realization, the wealth of love, love of Krishna. That is true wealth. And Maharaj Nimi, he portrayed himself as a mendicant, as a beggar to these great kings. A sannyasi is sometimes addressed as Maharaj. Maharaj means a great king. King of what? What does a sannyasi is not allowed to have any possessions that he uses for his own personal selfish interests. A sannyasi has nothing in his name. A sannyasi has no social commitments as far as socially he's dead. He doesn't have a family. He doesn't have property. Nothing. This is sannyas. Whereas a king is someone who is the ruler of an entire kingdom. He taxes the citizens. Armies under, you know how much armies are worth? Just to maintain a military? It's the largest expenditure in any country in the world is maintaining their military, practically speaking. And the military is completely and exclusively under the command of a king. Today we have democracies. If the president wants to do something, he has to get the permission of the parliament and all these others. But in monarchy, what the king says is the absolute. He doesn't have to go through senates or House of Representatives. He doesn't have to go through ministers or parliaments or anything like that. These are all modern inventions. What a king says is done. And the king only consults with the Brahmins. He doesn't bother consulting other politicians. He consults with Brahmins. Self-realized souls, people he trusts, who know the scripture, who can guide him. What is the will of God? So in this way, the king is the absolute authority. Therefore, he is factually the proprietor of the whole kingdom. And really, what are taxes? In a monarchy kingdom, the king is the proprietor of everything. You don't know, you can't own anything. You pay taxes, it's like renting. You're renting whatever you have, you're just renting from the king. So imagine what fabulous wealth the king had in those, especially in previous ages. Oftentimes the king, he was the ruler of the entire planet. The king is addressing the sadhu as Maharaj, great king. What does that indicate? That indicates that one who has conquered his senses, One who has captured Krishna within his heart. One who has the wealth of renunciation and loving, and the wealth of love, love of God, and detachment from this world, that person is truly wealthy. And compared to those riches, the riches of a king have no value whatsoever. Therefore, although such persons, from the external point of view, they appear as beggars, when they come before a learned man like Maharaj Nimi, he becomes a beggar. They do not come to the king begging for favors. I want land, I want wealth, give me this, give me that. No. When they come before the king becomes a beggar before them. That you have the real wealth, you have Krishna, please give me Krishna. So therefore the great acharyas repeatedly explain that we should not come before politicians begging for something. Politicians should come to sadhus begging for something. If we come to beg, we only beg them to engage in Krishna's service. We don't ask them for anything for ourselves. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he specifically would not deal with kings. Maharaj Prataparudra, he was so anxious to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya tried to arrange a meeting, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Sarvabhauma that, "I will not meet him." And Sarvabhauma said, "He's a very great king, and he's a very great devotee. He loves you with all of his heart. He's always serving the devotees. He's a reservoir of good qualities." And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Yes, I am sure he is a reservoir of all good qualities. But the fact that the name king is attached to the rest of his name makes him abominable. Therefore, I will not see him." King means he's associating with sense gratification and material wealth. And for a sannyasi, one in the renounced order of life, to associate with such a person, he says, not a sannyasi. He said, for one who is desiring to cross over the ocean of birth and death, to associate with people who are too much attached to wealth and sense gratification, it is more deadly than drinking poison willingly. And if you ever ask me again to meet this king, I will leave this place. You will not see me again. He was very strong. Why? Because he wanted to set the example. He wanted to set an example that one who has renounced everything of this world is not in need of favors of anybody in the material level. His only business is to give. Of course, ultimately, he only saw the king intimately and gave him his personal darshan. He was ultimately moved through two incidences. King Prataparudra could not see him because of his position. But at the Rath Yatra, King Prataparudra took off his kingly robes. He put on the dress of a street sweeper. And very sincerely swept the road as a bhangi before Lord Jagannath. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw, although he has a big position as king, before God he is accepting the position of the most menial servant. Whoever we are, if before God we do not have the attitude of a menial servant, we have no value in our spirituality, in the eyes of the Lord, or of the great saints. Whether we're a guru, whether we're a sannyasi, whether we're a king, whether we're a wealthy industrialist householder, whatever our situation, whether we're a brahmachari, whether we're a pujari, if we do not have the attitude of a menial servant before the Lord, we cannot attract the attention of Lord Chaitanya. So when Prataparudra Maharaj was sweeping the streets sincerely, taking the lowest menial service, Lord Chaitanya thought, this is very nice. And then when Ramananda Rai came, Ramananda Rai was asked by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to resign from his government post when he told that when I told the king Prataparudra that I wanted to resign because I wanted to be your servant, he said, "Oh, you are so fortunate. He will not see me. He will not give me such a fortune. But if he's going to give you this fortune, then you, if that is his desire, then you go. If that's what pleases you, you go. I will give you full pension, full salary, full facility, everything. You're completely relieved of all your responsibilities. Go serve Lord Chaitanya to your full satisfaction." So these are the two ways that this king attracted the heart of the Lord. One is by accepting the most menial position before the Lord, and two, by making a great sacrifice to please his devotee. Then Lord Chaitanya decided in his heart, I will show my mercy to King Prataparudra. But not if he comes as a king. And Ramananda Rai knew this. So Ramananda Rai disguised Prataparudra as a mendicant, as a penniless sadhu mendicant. He put him in those robes, and he had to present himself before the Lord in that way. And then he was allowed to massage the lotus feet of the Lord during the Ratha Yatra at Aitota Garden. Mahaprabhu was very much feeling fatigued because of his dancing throughout the day, so he was laying in a secluded place. And Ramananda Rai told, first he dressed the king just the way he should be. Don't go as a king, go as a beggar. Only then can you approach the Lord. And these are the verses you should chant to bring him in transcendental ecstasy. So he went and began to massage the feet, massage the Lord. He began to recite these verses, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased he began to embrace him with great love. So similarly, it is said in the Bible by Lord Jesus that it's easier to thread a camel through the eye of a needle than for a man attached to his wealth to enter into the kingdom of God. In Jerusalem, there was a wall around the whole city to protect it from intruders and enemies. And there was one gate called the Eye of the Needle. And camels had to enter through that gate. And it was only this high. So whatever was on the camel's back, he had to take off of his back and he had to get on his knees and crawl through. So in other words, in order to enter into the kingdom of God, whatever possessions we have, whatever ego we have, whatever accomplishments we've had, that's all like a load on our back. We have to remove it. We're nothing. We have accomplished nothing. We have no wealth. We have nothing. And after removing everything from our back, we have to get down on our knees, which is a very humble position, and crawl. You cannot walk into the kingdom of God, according to knowledge. You have to crawl on your hands and knees. Then you can go. So in the same way, if we present ourselves as the menial servant, and more than that, the menial servant of the servant, then the Lord will take our devotion seriously. So Maharaj Nimi is approaching the Navayogendra, the nine sons of Rishabdev, that you are the Maharajas. I am a penniless beggar before you, because all my wealth is illusory. All my wealth is like the will-o'-the-wisp. It's here today, tomorrow gone. But you have eternal wealth. All my wealth can bring me no real satisfaction. But your wealth can not only bring yourself eternal bliss, but whoever you give charity of your wealth to, everyone will be submerged in eternal happiness. So Maharaj Nimi was begging, please, I am a beggar, give me some charity. Give me the charity of transcendental knowledge. That is the supreme opulence. Because that is what leads to love of God. required. In what colors and forms does the Supreme Personality of Godhead appear in each of the different ages? And with what names and by what types of regulative principles is the Lord worshipped in human society? It has been clearly established, purport, in the previous verses that human life is spoiled if one does not surrender unto the Supreme Lord and engage in his loving service. Therefore, the king is now requesting the sages to give specific details about the worship of the Lord, because this devotional process has clearly been described as the only practical means for delivering the conditioned souls. And one of the nine yogendras, Sri Karabhajana, has spoken. Sri Karabhajana replied, in each of the four yugas or ages, Krita or Satya, Treta, Dwapar, and Kali, Lord Keshava appears with various complexions, names, and forms, and is thus worshipped by various processes. Krite Shuklaschatur Bahu Jatilo Valkamalbara. In Satya Yuga, the Lord is white and forearmed, has matted locks, and wears a garment of tree bark. He carries a black deerskin, a sacred thread, prayer beads, and a rod and water pot of a brahmachari. People in Satya Yuga are peaceful, non-envious, friendly to every creature, and steady in all situations. They worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead by austere meditation and by internal and external sense control. So here he is explaining the physical characteristics and complexion of the Lord, and the process that he teaches. And now he explains the names. Now, you may not recognize, because Bhagavatam mainly deals in the first canto with the Lila avatars. These are the names in Satya Yuga of the Yuga avatar, who teaches this process of meditation. In Satya Yuga, the Lord is glorified by the names Hamsa, Suparna, Vaikuntha, Dharma, Yogeshwar, Amala, Ishwara, Purusha, Avyakta, and Paramatma. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has explained the Lord's various names in Satya Yuga as follows. Many of you have questioned about this, so you should listen carefully and take notes. Because when we discuss this to people, how the Lord comes, this is one of the evidences of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's avatar, is how the Lord is explained to have come in different colors and different ages. We should know how he comes in these colors. It is rarely discussed. So Bhaktisiddhanta has explained, those who are self-realized know that this supreme reality of the personality of Godhead is Paramatma. The souls who are situated in the religious system of Varnashram glorify him as the Hamsa. Persons absorbed in gross matter consider him to be Suparna, the beautiful winged. Persons accustomed to wandering within this universe of subtle and gross matter chant his name as Vaikuntha. Persons deprived of the power of transcendental meditation, who are thus subject to falling from the path of religion, glorify him as Dharma, or religion personified. Those who are forced to submit to the illusory modes of material nature and whose minds are uncontrolled and disturbed glorify him as the most perfectly self-controlled Yogeshwar. Persons tainted by the mixture of the modes of passion and ignorance call him Amala, or uncontaminated. Persons devoid of potency call him Ishwara, And those who consider themselves to be under his shelter chant his glories by the name Uttama Purusha. Those who know him know that this material manifestation is only temporary, call him Avyakta. In this way, in Satyayuga, Lord Vasudeva appears in various four-armed transcendental forms. And the jiva soul worships him, each by their own particular process of devotional service. Therefore, the Supreme Lord has many different names. So it is described here by, this is by purport of Jiva Goswami and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, that in Satyayuga, the Lord appears in various four-armed forms, according to this description, appearing to different people in different classes, by different names, to teach this particular process of meditation. In Treta Yuga, the Lord appears with a red complexion. He has four arms, golden hair, and wears a triple belt representing initiation into wit, each of the three Vedas, embodying the knowledge of worship by sacrificial performance, which is contained in the Rig, Sama, and Yajur Vedas. His symbols are the ladle, spoon, and other implements of sacrifice. In Treta Yuga, those members of human society who are fixed in religiosity and are sincerely interested in achieving the absolute truth worship Lord Hari, who contains within himself all the demigods. The Lord is worshipped by the rituals of sacrifice taught in the three Vedas. In Treta Yuga, the Lord is glorified by the names Vishnu, Yajna, Prishni, Garbha, Saravadeva, Urukram, Vrishakapi, Jayanta, and Urugaya. In Dwapara Yuga, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears with a dark blue complexion wearing yellow garments. The Lord's transcendental body is marked in this incarnation with Srivats and with and other distinctive ornaments, and he manifests his personal weapons. My dear King, in Dwapara Yuga, men who desire to know the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supreme Enjoyer, worship him in the mode of honoring a great king, following the prescriptions of both Vedas and Tantras. O King, in this way, people in Dwapara Yuga, glorify the Lord of the universe. In Kali Yuga also, people worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead by following various regulations of the revealed scriptures. Now kindly hear this from me. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the names of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. So through this reference, we can understand the paramount importance which Sri Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami is explaining of the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Harinama, Harinama, Hariname, Vakevalam, Kalona, Steva, Nasteva, Nasteva, Gatiraja. In fact, Srila Prabhupada has described in many of his purports that really in our Krishna consciousness movement we have no other business than chanting the holy name of the Lord, worshipping his beautiful form and serving his devotees. In the process of chanting of the holy names, Cheto Darpana Marajanam Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam, everything can be attained in life. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wrote 8 verses, the Shikshastakam, and these 8 verses, which he personally penned with his own hands, simply delineating the importance of chanting the holy name. It is all in all. To achieve love of God in this age, it is the all in all. And everything else is simply to assist that process. And therefore, we must have this faith. In order to chant properly the holy name, we must have the conviction and the faith that simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, everything will be. If we do not have that faith, we will not chant with the proper consciousness, and we will have so many other ideas, so many other plans, so many other alternatives that we consider to be useful. And to that extent, we minimize the ultimate value of Harinam Kirtan. Therefore, hearing this literature is of topmost importance, because a devotee must hear. And the most important part of reading the scriptures in the age of Kali Yuga is simply to have the conviction and the faith that all I need is Krishna's name, and to take shelter of Krishna's name. Is there any questions?
So the three yuga when Krishna is described, that refers only to Satya Yuga, Treta and Kali, not Dwapar. The Gargamuni predicts that the Lord is three yogi, and the word which is quoted from the 10th chapter.
No, he doesn't say that. Gargamuni is explaining in four yugas he appears in four colors.
In that particular verse, only three were mentioned.
No, he mentions all four. He mentions three of how he has appeared, and now he's appearing in his blackish form. He has appeared previously in other three colors as the Yugavatar, but now he is appearing in his blackish form.
Our movement is giving more emphasis on devotional service also. If a devotee is more interested only in chanting the holy name and not so much interested in doing some devotional service, what is his criteria? Should he spend more focus on only chanting or?
Krishna is none different than his name. He reveals himself as you approach him. Unless we surrender to the lotus feet of Guru and Sadhu, our chanting of the holy name is like one Acharya has explained, it is like blank bullets. It makes a sound, but there's no substance to it. You know, a real bullet, when you shoot it, it will go in and kill the enemy. Right? But a blank bullet will make a noise, but nothing comes out. It has no potency. So chanting the holy name without a proper service attitude is like a blank bullet. It makes the sound of the name, but the enemy of pride is not killed within the heart. So therefore, unless we perform devotional service in a menial, humble attitude, Krishna will never reveal himself through his name. Why people, farmers, they plow their fields? Do you know how hard they work plowing their fields? Why don't they just plant the seed and water it? Why go through all the trouble of plowing the field? Because it won't grow unless they plow it. Right? But factually, watering the seed is the only way to make the seed grow. But if you don't plow the seed, the watering process will not work. Similarly, unless we develop a proper service attitude through the process of devotional service, the watering process of chanting the holy name will not make the seed of love of God grow. Unless our heart becomes very soft through devotional service, the chanting will not have much effect. So chanting is the only way to make that love grow. But devotional service is what puts our consciousness in the proper attitude by which we can chant
correctly, chant in a way that's pleasing to Krishna. Mm-hmm. You cannot, if your name is Krishna, that you'll have to reveal yourself to me. If you chant the way your guru is telling you to chant, sincerely, humbly, attentively, and you render service to the Vaishnavas, and then Krishna becomes pleased. And then he reciprocates through his name with us. Otherwise he will not. One who is humbly serving as a menial servant of the Lord, for him to chant one mantra will be more pleasing to Krishna than someone chanting all day long simply for his own salvation, without that menial service attitude, who just does it on his own. Huh? It's a fact. If a devotee is working very hard, submissively serving guru and sadhus, and chants 16 rounds a day, that chanting will have far more potency of attracting Krishna than someone who's chanting 64 or even 3 lakhs of names, who's just doing it on his own. Quality is more important than quantity. And our devotional service gives our chanting high quality.